Peter, do you remember the first time you ever heard A World Without Love?
Not precisely. I know pretty much when and where it was. It was in our house in Wimpole Street in the middle of London. As you may know, at that point in time, Paul McCartney had moved into the guest room, and he and I were sharing the top floor of the house. And I remember that's where I heard it. I'm trying to remember if it was in my room or his room, or the precise circumstances escaped me. I do remember I might have just overheard it, you know, while he was playing it himself. And I told him how much I liked the song. And that's when he explained to me that actually the Beatles were not going to record it, that John didn't like it much. He thought the opening line, "Please lock me away," was particularly silly. Apparently, when Paul was trying to sell him the song, Paul would get as far as that line and say, "Please lock me away," and John would go, "Okay, I will, the song's over." So it was a Beatles reject, and on that basis, Paul had not finished it, and it was basically an orphan, unfinished song at that point, and that's when I first heard it.
Peter and Gordon got a contract, and you said to Paul, "What about that song? Is it finished?"
Exactly so.
And there was still a bridge to write.
Exactly so. But when we were just playing clubs and pubs around London, and we were in this relatively upscale kind of eating and drinking club called the Pickwick Club in the West End, it was there that somebody came up to us after a show and introduced himself as an A&R guy from EMI Records. Norman Newell was his name. And he asked us to come and audition. We did. We passed the audition. He gave us a record deal. We were thrilled to death. That was, you know, obviously our lifetime ambition. He said he'd booked a day in the studio for us to make our first few tracks and some great musicians. He'd picked out a couple of songs that we had done that evening in our show that he wanted to record. At the time, interestingly, he was thinking of us being sort of British folkies, you know, like the Britain's answer to the Kingston Trio, as
yes,
it were, kind of
Peter
thing.
Paul and Mary.
Peter Paul without Mary, as
yes.
it were. And Peter and Gordon without Mary. So that was kind of the direction he was headed in. But he also, because we did a version of 500 Miles, he really liked that kind of thing. But he also said, if you know any other good songs, feel free to bring them along. And that's when I thought, you know what? Maybe I do.
I've
so,
got one.
So that's when I went back to Paul and said, if that song is still not have a home, any chance we could do it? And Paul said, yes, certainly.
There is a demo version, I believe, that
yes.
you taped in
yes.
in that top room
yes,
in
correct.
London.
Yes, it's everywhere now, of course, because the minute I played it anywhere, the way things are these days, it's immediately everywhere. But yes, I do actually have the tape of it. Yeah.
So what about the arrangement of the song? Because presumably Paul's version of the one you heard was just he and his guitar.
Yes, sorry I can't play it to you now, but yeah, it's just him and the guitar.
The full track is quite beautifully arranged.
Well, thank you. I had a bit to do with that. Yeah, I mean, I had some ideas, and I remember talking to Paul about some of them, but he wasn't there for the session or anything. And Norman Newell was a very good producer, but also a very cooperative producer. So I did get to try out a lot of the things that I had imagined it. The whole boom, 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 which is sort of a cliche, of course, but it wasn't on Paul's acoustic
no.
demo.
And there's a 12-string, I believe.
There's a 12-string, and I love 12-string guitars, yes.
And what do you remember about the first time you played it live?
Oh, gosh. I'm not sure. I think we started playing it probably before it was a hit because, you know, we were still doing little gigs.
Yes.
And we had that song. We definitely were playing it. So I remember people liking it, but it wasn't like, oh, here's the hit, you know. And then, of course, after it came out and went to number one in England, number one all over Europe.
Number two in Australia.
I know, number two in Australia. I resent that deeply.
Of course.
I'm amazed I'm here.
Yes.
No, but yes, it's interesting. That's the one country it didn't go to number one in. But so of course then we had the experience of people gradually recognizing it, which is a very exciting time. It's the first time you play it, people go, oh, it's a nice song.
Yes.
But then once they've all heard it on the radio and they know it, it's like, yes, it's the hit, you know.
It's the hit.
And that's a fantastic feeling.
And where would it fit in your set? Would you close the set with it?
Well, we do now, certainly. I mean, that's what you traditionally do. You
yes.
save it up and end with it. But at the beginning, probably when we were doing pubs and clubs, probably not. We probably stuck it somewhere in the middle. Don't know.
Or open with it, maybe.
Could do.
Or do
Could
it
do.
Twice.
And you'd have to explain, you know, I would explain what it was, you know, too. This is our first single. And,
yeah.
You know, people do that.
It's a magnificent song. We're delighted to be able to play it. So perhaps you could introduce it, Peter, and we'll play the song in full.
I'm delighted to introduce the number two record in Australia in 1964, Peter and Gordon singing World Without Love, written by Paul McCartney.